All right. I am excited about today's episode. I really am. Not often do we get to spend a good chunk of time away from sports. And the first half, or maybe all, I don't know what percentage of this episode is going to be dedicated to non-sports related material. If you're listening to it right now, I'll put a timestamp in the description of the episode. So if you're not interested and what we're about to talk about, then you can just skip ahead to the sports section. But Sam, myself, and our guest speaker, Ben Welker, we all competed in an Olympic distance triathlon this past weekend. It was the first one for all of us, maybe the only one for some of us.
Not maybe.
And the interesting thing is that, you know, when we all crossed the finish line, I mean, we all crossed the finish line at different times, and we all had a chance to kind of talk about, you know, our race and sort of our day. But the amount of time that we spent together during the race was probably, like, all of us, it was probably like less than a minute for the whole 3 to 4 hour event. So there are going to be things that, you know, we learn about each other's race on this episode because we just didn't get really a chance to talk about it. And now that it's been, well, we raced on Saturday, so today is Monday. Now that we've had a couple days to sort of decompress and relax and heal, it'll be really fun to hear some of the stories. And we're waiting on Ben right now. He'll be here in a few minutes. But yeah, I'm super excited about the episode. I don't know how you're feeling today, Sam, I'm super excited for today.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna ask you how you were feeling as well, because I'm struggling over here.
So still struggling.
we're 3 days removed now.
Yeah, rough. I mean, well, no, two. Technically two, right? Because we raced on Saturday. Today's Monday.
Yeah, my left leg is just messed up. It's like all the cramps and all the pains that I felt on the race day are now just coming back to me today. And I was telling coworkers, like, I was walking funny, and I told them why, and I was like, don't be alarmed. I just don't have full function. If we were to have a race within the office, I would easily come in last.
Oh, but you may come in first doing triathlons.
No, I'm good.
No, you don't think so?
I don't even think, if I got in the water, I don't even think I could kick like during a freestyle with my left leg and it not cramp.
Oh man, it was a day. It was certainly a day that I'll never forget.
I think we could start here, right? Like, yeah. What were your kind of expectations going into it?
So, for me, and you know, this whole thing sort of spawned. The original plan was my idea. I was gonna do this race. I had signed up for it a long time ago, and I remember I had signed up and way back in like August or September, and I was sitting there and I was like a week removed from having signed up, and I was like, you know, I think this would be so much more fun if this first one I don't do it alone. So you guys were the first two that I immediately contacted, and obviously, and my goal is to eventually get to an Ironman. So I literally have like a spreadsheet right now with the next, like I have like five events written on there over the course of the next 2 years that I want to do to sort of build up to that. So for this one, I think my expectations more than anything else was just to confirm what I had kind of suspected, from the standpoint of I had this idea that I was going to really enjoy doing this, just because I tie a large part of my like identity to sports, and not having sports to compete in over the past couple of years has really started to eat at me. So more than anything, I wanted to do well, but I really just wanted like confirmation that I enjoyed like living in this world. So my expectation was just to try, like, I just wanted to have as much fun as I possibly could and hope and just try to enjoy the day. Regardless of whatever time I got. And I don't know how you guys felt going into it. I know we all talked a lot, and Ben, you're now here with us. Ben, how are you feeling today?
Oh, hi guys. I hope everyone's doing well. I am, we're still in the recovery phase. I think I woke up today and it was like, my body was still kind of like, what did you do to yourself? It was more like my mental state too today, where I was like just drained. I think like the adrenaline and just like everything from this past weekend has kind of like died off. And now my body's kind of like, all right, man, like catch up, like figure it out. But I'm doing all right. We're hanging in there.
Nice. Yeah. I was telling, I opened the show by saying, by introing that, you know, we all raced in our first Olympic distance triathlon, and some of us it was the first, and for some of us it may be the last. where do you stand on ever potentially ever doing any type of triathlon racing again?
I don't know if Sam answered this already, but I think for me, I'm like done for a long time. I would honestly, like, if I were to do it again, I would, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more, but it would honestly, like, flat course. Like, I would either like, like straight up, like the elevation gain is zero, or I ended up going downhill a majority of it.
The bike actually took you underwater.
Yeah, no, literally, like I mean, I just thinking back to it, what we did close to like 1500 feet in elevation gain between the run and the bike.
Yes, I believe like the first 18 miles of the bike were a gradual, I believe like 1100 feet of elevation.
Yeah, but like the last like 800 of that feet did not feel very gradual. That was like, oh no, you're going up. Like you made it like 500 feet in elevation and you're gonna hit the rest in the next like 2 miles.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I honestly, like, I would consider doing one again, but I just, like, it would have to be such a different course than what we did.
Right. What was your expectations going into the race? Yeah. Ben?
Yeah, so honestly we talked about it, and I think Jason, like you said, you were like thinking initially, and again, like, these are like for people that haven't done it, like, we didn't know, so kind of like going off of our training times and like where we felt the strongest, like you were saying like sub three, and I was like, I think I could do maybe sub 3.5.
Yeah,
and now looking back on it, like, I don't think that was like an unrealistic goal, but doing it sub 4 is pretty damn impressive. Super. Considering the course that was laid out and the equipment that like I had for the bike. I think the expectation was to finish it, but also like meet a certain time period, like a certain time goal, and I think like I did it, like it wasn't 3.5, but I think mine was like 3:43.
Yeah,
and like that's pretty damn good for your first one. And again, like, I will for the rest of this podcast harp on the course, like that was brutal. Like, again, like, I think if it's flat, like, we're all below or at that 3:30 mark. So yeah.
So it's like a golf, if it's like liken it to golf, that had a higher handicap.
Oh, and, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it's like you go play, I wouldn't say like a, you just, you tip it out, right? Like, you're like going to the back tees, you know? Like, I don't think it's necessarily like the hardest course ever, but like for someone that has never done it before, like you're playing like where the pros were played, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and so the one thing that needs to be said before we go on any further for people who have no idea what triathlon we ran in, we did happen to pick a fairly hard one, and that wasn't
Like, you.
I like how, yeah, like you said we. I like how you said we.
Yeah, well, you picked it.
So here's the thing. Like, the reason, obviously the reason why I had circled this one was because it was local. Like,
that
was really what appealed to me. So what the thing that I was anticipating a little bit is that this was an international triathlon, meaning, at least as far as I could tell, that this was a race that for, like, people who are trying to, like, qualify for bigger and tougher and, like professional races, this was, like, one of the races that you'd have – that you would use to, like, use as a qualifying time. So the juxtaposition between, you know, us three being out there and these people who are riding spaceships for their bicycles, these $10,000 to $20,000 bicycles who are completing the race in under 2 hours, mind you – I think the biggest thing, honestly, one of the biggest things that I took away from this was, yes, you can have professionals who are doing this super hardcore and spending, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to do stuff like this. But if it's something that you want to do and just try, you can be kind of like us and just take kind of what equipment you have. You obviously you'll need a wetsuit if the course allows you to have one, and that is the water temperature based. If you're racing somewhere where the water is warm enough, they don't let you wear a wetsuit. So you can absolutely do one of these races with minimal equipment, which I think that was really fun because I really wish on the leaderboard they would have broken it down. I really wish they would have had like a quote unquote like professional bracket and then like everybody else bracket.
Agreed.
Because I would have liked to know where we netted out amongst people who weren't competing for like professional qualifications. Because I'd like to believe that we did fairly well. I mean, we had all said like around the 3.5 hour mark. I think that was a fairly decent time. And we have to take Sam's time with a grain of salt because of the whole flat tire thing, which we'll get into.
Brutal.
Okay, before we go any further, right, we did a little bit of background, triathlon, obviously, we've talked about it. If you've been a listener of our podcast for the last year, you know we've been in this triathlon, we've trained for it, some of us more so trained than others, but it's about a mile swim, a 24-mile bike ride, and then a 6-mile run, all back-to-back-to-back. No breaks in between, right? Just going through that. So when we talk about like our different times and different things like that, just keep that in mind when we throw out like 3 hours and 30 minutes. It's like people are going to be like, "What? How did it take you guys 3 hours and 30 minutes to do those things?" But yeah, it's a long, long distance.
Yeah, it's a long day. And Sam, we had answered sort of our expectations. What were your expectations going into the race?
Yeah, you know what? I completely underestimated it. I think I was so scared of doing that swim that it was like I completely overlooked the run and the bike. Mm-hmm. Which, in all seriousness, if I could swim straight in open water, that swim was easy. It was a piece of cake.
Right.
Right. What? Like I did it in about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I would swim probably 10 strokes freestyle, feeling good, breathing well. The nose plug really came in clutch.
Yeah.
And then I would come up out of the water and I was like way inside the buoy. And I was like, what the heck? So then I really tried to exaggerate going right. And then again, I would be way inside the buoy. And it was like, what? Oh my gosh. It was like completely, disheartening in that way. Like it felt like I was doing so much more than everyone else. But once I got that swim done, I was like, oh, I'm good. I was talking to my mom, talking to Jenna, who we've had on before. And it was just like, I was joking with them when I was transitioning from the swim to the bike. It was like, oh no, this is good. I survived. I didn't die in Folsom Lake. Yeah.
Well, and you smashed your goal too, right? Like you said, you wanted to do the swim in under an hour and you destroyed that.
Yeah. I mean, looking back on it, if I did do it in an hour, I would have been by far the the slowest in the entire field. Which that was a big thing for me too. It was like, oh, I was not the last person to get out of the lake in our group. Which that was, I mean, that was important to me. Shout out to volunteer Rob. He was kayaking to the left of me.
I heard he was the MVP.
Oh, he came in clutch. saved my life. He was like, hey, like, I'll be on the left of you. Every time you look up to breathe, like, just base your position off of me. So I did that, try to keep equal distance from him. And then I was like, holy cow, I'm going straight. He took me all the way in. I mean, he had nothing better to do because there was only two people out there. So, but that was awesome. Like I stopped, and I was like, hey, like, what's your name? Thank you, Rob. I cramped twice in the water, which, pretty disheartening.
Ouch.
For the very beginning of the race. So, that was scary when the first time we did it, but, the fact that I did that swim was awesome, but I didn't have the slightest idea of what was going to happen next.
Right. Ben, what was your experience in the water?
Were you even in the water for very long to have an experience?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, honestly, out of the three of us, like, I'm like, Katie Ledecky or something like that. I mean, like, honestly, like, at first it was kind of, I don't even know. Like, it was just more of like, just keep up the same rhythm. Like, I felt like I found my groove pretty easily and kind of separated myself from people pretty quickly once we got in the water. So it was pretty easy to just kind of keep my head up, keep the same rhythm, and then just kind of like hit check marks in terms of like, okay, there's a pink cap. Okay, there's a blue cap. Like, kind of just keep going by people, which was nice to like kind of feel like, okay, like I'm, you know, able to like reach this person, not like, oh, there's a buoy, you know, half a mile in front of me that I have to get to.
Right.
So, I mean, honestly, like, it was just like comfortable. Like, I was just like, we're just going to hit the same rhythm. Like, we're going to do like 20 strokes, pop the head up, find kind of like your closest person, and then try to hit that person in the next 20 strokes. And if not, like, locate the buoy and just keep straight. So it was pretty, honestly, like, it felt pretty good. It was a good little rhythm that I kind of built, so.
And you did it in 33 minutes, right?
Yeah, like 32, 33.
Yeah, I popped out of the water at about 37 minutes, and I definitely screwed myself at the beginning because I think having built the race up as much as I did, like, I obviously knew I was probably going to come out of the race, like, I mean, not out of the race, out of, like, as soon as it started, I figured I was going to have, like, a bunch of adrenaline, which I figured would probably work against me a little bit. And it absolutely did, because for the first, for the people listening, we basically swam in a triangle. We swam to the right. Out to
that was a square. That was not a triangle.
Okay, a square. we swam to an edge. It was about 0.3 miles. Then we swam across to the other edge, about 0.3, and then we swam 0.3 back in. So yeah, basically a square. And for the first 0.3 of that, I was just having a really tough time catching my breath. I think the adrenaline of everything just sort of caught up with me. I think I was so trying to do well. And to be honest, I was almost positive, Ben, that you were going to beat me in the swim. So part of me was like, oh, I want to keep up with him. Like I want to use, like, it's just like, I want to try to stay with him as much as I could. Parenthetically, I totally lost you when we got in the water. I had no clue where you were.
I didn't know who anyone was. Yeah.
Yeah. And then once I got around the first buoy, I started to calm down a little bit. I got into my groove. And then when I came back, and then after I crossed the second buoy, so the final 0.3, then I really hit my stride, and I had passed quite a few people on the way back in. I felt like I really felt good. But I don't know about you guys and what your experience was getting out of the water, but I was very dizzy getting out of the water. I actually was a little bit nervous when I got onto my bike because it wasn't gone even by the time I had gotten out of the water, changed, had a quick bite to eat, got on my bike. I was still dizzy pedaling for the first like quarter mile.
I don't think I got like too dizzy, which was good. I think like the entire way after I made that turn towards the beach, like a quarter mile or whatever to go, I was telling myself the entire time, like, you're going to be dizzy. You're going to be dizzy. Like, go slow. Go slow. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get up too fast. Like, just, like, swim in as far as you can. Don't try to stand up too quickly. And that kind of helped me. And then I just walked. Like, I honestly, like, got out of the water, took my time taking off the wetsuit, walked up to the beach. I didn't run, really. I wasn't trying to like get to the transition area too fast. So I was more like, let's just like make sure you're like able to see straight and you're not feeling like shit as you get on the bike. So,
yeah. What about you, Sam?
I think because I stopped pretty periodically, I think that kind of helped in alleviating some of that dizziness, but I definitely was like lightheaded getting out. Yeah, it didn't affect me as badly, I think, as when we went and swam just the three of us in some of those training sessions.
Well, lucky you guys, I guess. I definitely felt it pretty good. I walked up to the bike transition area too, because I was dizzy. Like, I wanted to run, but I just didn't feel like I could. So getting onto the bike, I don't know how you guys felt on the bike. I know that I had the newest bike, so of the three of us. So I guess from a quote unquote like easy perspective, just the equipment that I had helped me a little bit. But I think we all had trouble on the bike with our equipment for different reasons. And mine was. For about the last 12 miles of the ride, my bike would just periodically just like shift gear on its own. So I would be like, I would be riding up a hill and I'd put it into a lower gear to make it easier to pedal. And then it would just upshift all the way to like six. And then it was like pedaling through cement and it would just do it by itself. And it would do it while I was going downhill too. So I would upshift to a higher gear and to make it easier to pedal downhill, and then it would just completely downshift, and then my pedals would just go on their own like so fast that I like literally stuck my legs out to the side while I was going downhill and let them just ride because I couldn't get my feet on them. And it was just doing that for the last 12 miles, and I had no idea why, and there was some random clicking on my front tire that I really thought my bike was going to break or something. I have no idea what was going on with it. But outside of that, the biking was the event that I felt the most comfortable with, just having, you know, been mountain bike riding since I was a kid. So I don't know what your guys' that was obviously the longest event. So walk me through, and Sam, you can go ahead and start with this. Walk me through kind of your experience. Did you guys run into that group that took a detour all?
No, and I was kind of looking at where – I was wondering where they kind of made that wrong turn. I honestly went back and looked at the course to see if I could pinpoint where my mishap kind of went wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think I actually have a good spot of it. So I obviously got out of the water after both of these guys competitive juices flowing. I was like, okay, this is where I catch up. Like, I actually feel really good on the bike. My bike, though, it is 20 years old. It's a nice like racing style competitive road bike. So I went off and flew, and I actually caught up to people. Like, I don't remember if you guys remember the Indian dad and son that came and talked to us before the swim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they had gotten out of the water pretty close to you, Jason.
Okay.
Maybe just after, but they had, for some reason, they were still at the transition area right when I got there. They were just leaving, and then I had to change and do all that stuff. So I caught up to them. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I see people that were in that took off at the same time as us. Like, this is, that's awesome. Right at about 9 miles, I turn left. See if I can find the street. If it kind of matters, but it's right after Horseshoe Bar. For anyone that kind of knows, I guess, the inner workings of the greater Sacramento area, we're kind of going up to Auburn area.
Like Loomis.
Turn left. Yeah. In Loomis. Yeah. Turn left onto Valverde Road, which is, as I'm turning that left, there's volunteers that are kind of, ushering us over to the right area there. I'm turning this left and my back tire drifts as I'm turning. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. And they're whistling, they're yelling at me. So then I stop right after that turn on my bike. People are passing me. I look at my back tire. There's one of the pins, the safety pins that people use to attach their bibs, their running racing bibs onto their shirts. That is stuck through my back tire, which I'm pretty sure happened very early on in the bike. So I did about 9 miles of the bike with a very quickly depleting back tire.
Think of how much faster you'd have been going.
Dude, I would have been zooming. And it was so funny because there was people that were coming up behind me. I think like the relay team took off later than us.
Right.
I don't know. But guys would come over, like two different people came behind me. It was like, hey, you doing all right? Like everything okay? And I was like, dude, I'm fucking doing fine. Get away from me. I'm killing your ass right now.
Dude. Yeah. Ugh, so annoying.
I'm beating you right now in my 25-year-old bike. So at that nine mile mark, I am dead. I'm stuck. Like at this point, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna have to walk back with this bike. And then another hero of my journey, Eric the volunteer, who is the president of the Sacramento Triathlon Club, is like, hey, you got like a repair kit? You got a patch kit? I'm like, nope. Do I have an extra inner tube for my tires? Yes. Is it in my car? Yeah. 9 miles away. So he ends up, he has the right tire for me. He changes the tire as I just stand there like a schmuck, letting this guy change my tire for me. And all the while, there's people just flying by me. There's, I think, the guy that ends up getting last actually passes me on the bike, which is kind of nuts. So then once my tire, I wish I could track how long I was stuck with that flat tire, so then I could subtract that from my time, but I just have no idea.
Right.
But after that, after I got a functioning tire, I was flying.
Once your equipment was working, yeah.
Yeah. Once I had a, what is it important for both wheels to be functional for a bicycle?
Apparently not. At least not for the first 9 miles.
No. No.
Oh man, that's
what made it the worst too. So that was at 9 miles. So then I had obviously 15 more miles to go in this bike. And now all those people were in front of me. So like I said, I spent probably 75% of that race. I guess it probably comes out to more like 66%, but all alone in Loomis, Auburn, up to Newcastle, and all the way back down. I didn't see a single soul.
You probably would have caught me.
Okay, I wasn't going to say anything.
No, you probably would have.
But that was a possibility. You would have heard some words come out of my mouth to signify I was passing.
Yeah, don't worry. I only had about 150 people pass me. So.
Yeah. But
okay. Well, that's my nightmare.
Yes. Bike. And walk us through your biking experience. Cause I did actually see you on the bike. I think I saw you at around mile 10. And
yeah, I think it was like mile 10.
Yeah. The only reason I know that is because I asked some lady eventually that I was passing, not like a racer, but like somebody who was like flagging for us. I asked her like where we were, and she said it was mile 12, and it wasn't too much farther than where I had saw you. So we talked for a second, but then I didn't see you again until that one little portion of the run.
Yeah, no, my bike was tough. It wasn't flat tire tough, but
no,
you know, I think my bike was older than me. I mean, free, like parents' bike, road bike. I mean, like yours, Jason, like it was just shifting all the frickin' time.
Really? Oh.
It was just like, I was just fighting it the entire way. And like, it was just like it's just not a fast bike. Like I was going downhill and like getting passed by people, but going like 10, 15 miles per hour faster than me. It was just like, I don't know how much more I can really like give to it. Like there was just like certain like restrictions. It almost felt like it had a governor in a way. It was kind of tough. So I was just like, yeah, I don't think I passed one person on the bike. I think I was passed by like more than half the race. Yeah, no, it was tough. It was just a lot of like on your left for 24 miles. So, but yeah, I was like, so you know what's kind of funny was I was like, where the fuck is Jason? Because I was like at mile like 8, like I was like, okay, I've been passed by 40 people. I haven't seen Jason yet.
Yeah.
And then you came up like 2 miles later, which I was like, okay, that's good. Cause I was like getting worried. I was like, where are
you? Did you recognize his voice?
I think he goes, oh, hey, Ben. And I think we were going up a hill.
We were.
I said to him, like, my bike is so slow. And I was like, just like sucking air at that point. Like, like just like not even moving.
So,
It was tough.
You guys want to hear something kind of crazy, which gives credence to the course, and how difficult it was. So from like mile 10 to around mile 17, we had like a 500 feet elevation gain over those.
Those peaks in the up in Newcastle like just did me in. Like I had to get to the top of those hills and take a second. Like I had to stop.
Yeah, that one where we eventually ended up making a right-hand turn into, like, a neighborhood road.
Yeah.
From literally when you entered that to eventually when you got back onto the highway was just straight hell. Like, that was a horrible road.
Powerhouse Road.
Yeah. Yes.
Accurately named.
No, you're 100% right, because when I ended up talking to a guy at one of the aid stations, I had mentioned the big hill, and he was like, oh yeah, how'd you like Powerhouse? So so that's what he was talking about then.
No, I mean, like, honestly though, like the bike, like if I were to do it again, like I would probably have to invest in a bike, like, or at least something to like make that bike more like functioning for a race, because the bike wiped me. Like I felt good getting on the bike, and I felt good, like, I would say the first, like, 5 or 6 miles, like, sure, I was getting passed, but I wasn't like, oh, this is, like, awful. And then the rest of it, like, I would say the last, like, 15 to 18 miles were just straight up, like, hell. And that killed me for the run. Because at that point, like, I had already used everything in my legs.
Yep.
And then having to, like, now run 6 miles, like, on a trail that goes up and down constantly. Like, that was it. I was, like, done.
So, the only reason why I... Because my goal when I got on the bike was to find you. I wanted, and I kept telling myself, because it took me a while to get to you. I mean, you're right. It did take me a minute to get to you. And I was getting to a point where I was riding and I was like at mile 6 or 7. I was like, Ben is fucking flying right now because like I can't catch him. And I felt like, because I was passing people and I was like, I don't know what he did to his bike, but like, it's working, because I have no idea where – I had no idea where you were. So the only reason why I knew it was you was because every single person's handlebars were different than yours. You had like –
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had traditional like regular bike handles, the one that just kind of flare out to the side, whereas everyone else had kind of the kind of hooked handlebars. So when I saw the ones to the side, I was like, there's Ben. And we were going up a hill and I gunned it to get to you because I wanted to talk to you for a second. And it was nice. It was a nice thing to just like see you out there. And even on the run, because we all interacted with each other on the run, like just like seeing you guys for a few seconds to like just chat was a nice little energy boost. But yeah, that bike, it was in rough shape. It was definitely an older bike. So I 100% believe you when saying that it kind of just took you out for the run.
You know, is the nice thing though about the bike,
huh?
From mile 17 to 24, it was all downhill.
That was fun.
Like, you guys probably had fun doing that. Again, like, mine just kept shifting, and it wasn't going very fast.
But you didn't have to pedal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had to pedal downhill, too, which sucks.
No way.
Yeah, dude, mine, because it would shift. So it would be, like, on, like, the highest gear, and then it would just shift to, like, a 4 and slow me down. And then I would have to shift it back up, get back up to speed. It's just like constant. Tough.
I will say the ride itself, like minus it being just a hilly nightmare, it was very pretty. Like the road.
Was it?
Yeah. The road.
I didn't pay attention. I was just.
No, I didn't. Like, I didn't get a good look at it.
How much did you guys talk to yourself on the bike ride?
Constantly.
Yeah.
Once every mile, probably.
Agreed. Yeah. I was having full blown like arguments and conversations. Like I was just doing anything to try, which by the way, I don't know how many people you guys saw with headphones out there. You weren't allowed to have headphones. That was clearly stated in the rules, but I passed so many people who weren't even trying to hide the fact that they had headphones in.
I didn't even notice.
You did it?
No, oh. I wasn't. I did. Yeah. I didn't pay attention to that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was annoying. And I was like, man, I would love to be listening to, well, I guess anything.
Anything but my thoughts.
Yeah. At this point, that front yard that had the group of people doing yoga, like 40 people doing yoga, I didn't have that on my bingo card for what I was going to see on the ride. There were... Yeah, I mean, it was a fairly pretty ride. It just, yeah, I mean, like we've been saying, it was uphill for, you know, 75% of it, which was really rough.
So the biggest gripe I have, well, besides my tire getting imploded, but Jason, you mentioned it a little bit, the debacle of some people that were out in front within the race ended up taking a wrong turn.
I think I know.
And
yeah.
You know where it is?
I think so. Do you guys remember I think within the first 5 miles, there was a quick left-hand turn that we had to make. Mm-hmm. And then like not more than 100 yards later, there was an immediate right turn that we had to make. It was really the only quick 1-2 turn that we had to make. I think it was there because there wasn't a great the only reason why, and this is more of an educated like guess and just kind of based off what I heard people talking about at the aid stations, because I almost missed it too. I made that left-hand turn and immediately started riding straight because the one marker that they had was like off to the right-hand side and it wasn't very big. And I think that is the part where everybody kind of went straight and they missed that turn. I'm not 100% sure, but about 20 minutes after I made that right turn, I had a group of like 10 people pass me saying, are we on the correct course now? So just from that and listening to people at aid stations, I think it was the quick 1-2 turn that we had to make like early on. I think that's where people missed it. But I heard one lady say that somebody added like 8 miles to their ride.
Yeah, I'd still be biking if I went the wrong way.
I'd still be on the bike.
Yeah.
Honestly, we'd have to be following you in our car.
Yeah.
So what was the gripe?
No, so you're talking about Laird Road?
I Possibly. I don't know.
Right where we passed the fire station?
I think it was close, yeah.
Because that's within the first 4 miles.
Yeah, I think it was close. It would.
I know which one you're talking about. I think I almost did the same thing, Jason. There's someone behind me, and I yelled, "Where the fuck do we go?" It's gotta go right. So.
But there was people right there. Was okay. So the biggest gripe I have, and it kind of goes into how the heck do you have people that are genuinely competing? So the female that was leading the entire race for the women's division,
yeah,
ended up taking this wrong turn.
Yes.
Which I don't know if that impacts her rankings or her whatever happens. I wasn't taking it that seriously. I know you guys weren't taking it that seriously, so who cares? But the fact that this is an international event where people can qualify for who knows what these wackos want to do, and she and a bunch of other really high conditioned athletes take a wrong turn,
yeah,
that isn't something like, oh, it added a half a mile or a mile. It's like, okay, we can kind of make that up. Added 8 miles to the bike.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, their bikes were like motorcycles, so it's not like it took them that much longer to catch up to me.
I mean, yeah, they still passed Ben. But
they probably passed me twice.
The fact that, yeah, you just look behind it like, wait, what? You again? Weird.
I swear I didn't
get
that.
The fact that that even was a possibility was just weird. Like, there was so many volunteers for the first, I'd say, probably 10 miles. And then after that, we only saw groups of maybe 4 the entire way. But they were so spread out. Like, we were making turns and trusting the fact that these cones with arrows on them were going the right way, that we didn't add. Like, could you imagine if poor Ben took 8 more miles on the bike?
Yeah. Well, and
imagine if you got your flat tire at mile 8 on the detour, Sam.
Woo!
No volunteers. Well, yeah,
nobody would have saved you.
Yeah,
dude, I was so scared riding alone. I was like,
"Yeah,
if I take a wrong turn, I don't have my phone, I don't have my watch, I'm going to be knocking on some random person's door,
looking
and
like,
asking to use their phone."
Yeah,
yeah.
And I'm gonna have done that swim for no effing reason, and done the bike, and I'm not even gonna be able to finish.
Right. It was nerve-wracking because, like, for as many people, like, I had a couple people that I kind of was with for I guess maybe half the ride. The other half I think I spent for the most part, like, alone enough that I felt comfortable talking to myself and not having anybody pass by me and thinking I was weird. But there were long stretches, like, I think they did a decent job with the turns, but it was kind of nerve-wracking at points. And I can understand what you're saying, Sam, because, like, there were a good, like, 5, 6, 7, 8 mile stretches where there weren't any turns and there were no signs, because there wasn't anywhere to turn. So it was just, I think, an assumption, obviously, that you just keep riding straight until you see a turn. But there were good, long, like, 30-minute stretches where there were no signs, and if you, like yourself, were alone, I mean, then you'd have no indication of whether or not you had missed anything had missed anything, which is nerve-wracking. So I get what you're saying, because it's not like there was a cone every half mile saying, "Hey, you're going the right way.
Hey, keep it up. Great job."
Yeah.
Keep it up, Ben. You got this.
Nice.
Okay, so bike ride is done. We dismount, as the guy yelled at me when I got to the transition area.
That's why everyone set up their bikes over there.
Yes. Yeah.
We thought we were gaming the system that we could ride our bike down this long corridor-ish, or this path, till we get to our stuff. And we were like, "Oh, why wouldn't we do that?" But no, we had to walk our bikes.
Or sorry asses.
So the run, last event, about 6.5-ish miles. It's a 10K run. Whoever wants to go first on this one, how did the run feel?
You got it, Ben.
Oh yeah, no, I mean just like piggybacking off the bike thing. Like I was toast. I think my quads like were cramping basically the entire time. So I ran by like, you know, all our friends and family that were on the beach. And that was probably what, like quarter of a mile into the run.
Yeah.
And then the first aid station was probably another like mile up the road.
Yep.
I hit every aid station because it was an up and back. So what, we had three, right?
Yeah, there were the aid stations were at mile 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Yeah, so I hit it. I don't know. I don't really remember. But every time I saw them, I would get electrolytes because basically it was like you got to make it to the aid station and then you have to chug as many electrolytes as you can. To like release your muscles a little bit to run to the next aid station. And like if I stopped, like I had to like on some of the hills on the way back, I had to like just walk up the hill. But if I like stopped running, it was like instant, like it instantly tightened up. So I was like, I just have to like keep going as slow as I can. But yeah, no, I was just toast. It was more of like just get through and just somehow get to the finish line. There's no like rhyme or reason as to what I was doing on that run.
Sam, what about you?
Yeah. I think I echo a lot of the same sentiments that Ben had. Obviously, I was a lot later than you guys were. I roll in, and the same guy that yelled at you to dismount, Jason. He was like, "Oh, yeah, you still got this," and I was. And I was like, yeah, like with a flat tire. And he was like, hey, good for you for sticking through it or something like that. And I was like, yeah, you dang right. Yeah, but yeah, as buddy. I'm going through, there is not a lot of bikes left on the racks. So I'm going down. I find our spot. Obviously, it's like trash because you guys have both been through there. And I just kind of stop there. And I see this guy that's working on his bike there. So I figure he just got done with the bike. And I was like, oh, cool. Like I did really well on that last, over half of the bike. Like I caught up to people. I found civilization. And I'm talking to him and I like get water, gels, all that stuff. And I'm going and I see he's walking with his bike. And I was like, oh, You're not going to the run? He's like, nope. And I'm like, oh, you're done? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, hey, have fun on the run, man. I'm like, fuck you, dude. I'm not going to have fun with this when you're done. But it was the same thing, Ben. Like, I ran from that far as heck transition area to where our families, our loved ones were. And run is a stretch of what I was doing. It was more of like dragging with my hips one foot after the other because my quads were absolutely destroyed. Mm-hmm. And then until I got to that first aid station, it physically felt like I could not run. Mm-hmm. Like I was hobbling, walking to that first aid station. The first mile probably took me like 20, 25 minutes to do. And then once I got the electrolytes in, just like you, Ben, like I was chugging. I think I had like 3, 4, 5 on that first one of just Gatorade.
Yep.
And then I was like, okay, I feel good now. And I start jogging, walked downhill, all that stuff. And then by far my favorite part of the entire race, the last time that I'd seen one of you guys was minute one. once I let you guys kind of dive in the water in front of me and I was kind of finding some space in the water, saw Jason like in his bright ass wetsuit a couple times in the water. But after that, hadn't seen you guys for hours. Yeah. At this point. And I'm coming up over this hill and I see this guy running in this long sleeve. And I'm like, Oh my gosh, Jason. Oh my god, it is so good to see you. Like, I was alone with my thoughts that long that it was like such a relief to have a conversation with someone, which I guess what it was only like we exchanged probably 5 words back and forth, but it was just like so surreal to see someone I knew and be like, okay, I'm finishing this thing.
Yeah,
like he's right there. I made contact with him. I think at that point, my fear was I think my fear was that you guys were like already at the finish line and I was just starting the run. But when I saw that you guys were also in the thick of it, in that shit with me struggling.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what was like, okay, I'm actually not doing that bad. And then I saw you, Ben, and you were like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. And I was like, yes, 1,000% yes, this is the hardest thing. And then you know what, I caught up to people on the run and passed them and I was like, I feel good.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad we all struggled on the run, because to be honest, I felt out of the three of us, like I had practiced running, but Ben by far and away is the best runner out of the three of us. Certainly the best long distance runner. And then Sam, we had gone on that 6 mile run like a month ago together.
When you tripped me,
I didn't trip you at all.
So sorry for that. That's been awesome.
Blue Oaks got you real good.
I did. That sidewalk came up and just jumped at my heels.
Yeah. I felt that if you were running at your best and I was running at my best, we were probably close. I actually was giving you more of the edge. I felt like you weren't as dead as I was when we did that 6 mile run. So I felt like I was probably the weakest long distance runner. So when I, my motivation, and Ben, I wanted to catch up to you on the ride, because I wanted to use you as motivation for my run, because yeah. I knew I had a feeling that if I had like a 10 minute lead on you, then like I wanted to use that as motivation, as like, okay, if we were doing this full speed, he'd finish this probably 15 minutes before I did. Like, he would definitely catch me and smoke me. So I was using you as motivation for my run. I was like, I just like, I have to try to keep in front of him, because I'm going to slow down if he passes me, because I'm just pretending he's chasing me. And so I was just like, the better runners behind me, let's just use that as motivation. Cause I don't know what you guys were using to like try to motivate yourself. Cause like, I couldn't find anything. Like, there was obviously no music, no podcast, no distraction or anything. So, like, I'm, like, just searching on the ride and the run. Yeah. Like, just things to get me to keep moving. And the only thing that was working was just, like, Ben's a better runner than I am. He's a way better runner than I am. And I need to just try to keep my lead. Not that it mattered at all where any of us finished, because we were all just trying to, like, finish the race. But it was helping me, just because like I said, you're by far and away the better runner. So when I ended up seeing you at around like, I think mile like 3.5 or 4 for me when we were on the big horseshoe. Yeah. And I called out to you, and I definitely ran the back half faster than the first half. I walked quite a bit on the front half.
Scared the head crap out of me.
Oh, it did.
Well, yeah, because I was like just so like in my head, like basically like you're talking about motivation. Mine was like, dude, you've made it this far out here on the run. Like, you just have to get back. Like,
right.
You've gone this far in this race to like just quit. Like, that was it. I was like, you just have to get to that finish line.
Yeah, and see, you know, I don't know if I've ever actually like expressed this to you, but like your ability to do those long distance runs, those like that fast, I really, really admire that. And I'm really jealous that you have that ability to kind of do that, because I feel personally Like, part of the reason why I considered myself the weakest long distance runner out of the three of us is I feel like I have a really hard time motivating myself when I get to the 4, 5, 6 mile marking. Like, I feel like I'm very strong minded in like other things. Like when it comes to like the gym, I feel like I can really push my limits. But when it comes to running, I feel like I'm so quick to just immediately like walk instead of slowing down. I'm not good at it. So, like I said, that motivation for me on the run was just like this whole idea of like, it was more of like, I know Ben's not going to be like in my head. I didn't obviously know how you were going to be feeling or anything like that. But in my head, I was like, I know he's not going to walk. I know that he's got a way of like tapping into something that I just don't have. Try to find a way to do that exact thing, which is why I was using you as motivation to get me through that run. And then Sam, I saw you obviously stopped, gave you a hug, chatted for a second. That was helpful too, because it was just like, it was just, again, another reminder, like obviously Ben seeing you, and then, but we didn't chat. And then I chatted with you, Sam. It was just another one of like, yes, they're also out here with me. So like, let's finish this and then let's all celebrate this together. And then my two heroes on the race were the one dude who I met at like mile 2 when my quad started to cramp. He just was walking. He was heading back in. He was walking and I was walking, and he asked me how I was doing. And I was like, yeah, both of my quads are cramping. Other than that, I'm good. He was like, okay, yeah, here, here's some salt tabs. And he gave me 4. And within 5 minutes of taking those, I didn't have them for the rest of the run. And then I met somebody about mile 5. Her name was Amy. She had done a few triathlon races before. And I just basically ran with her all the way back in. So having somebody to run alongside with was really huge as well. That run was horrible. I don't know what your guys – I don't know if you guys had a goal time that you kind of wanted to finish that in. My goal was to kind of do it around an hour, and it took me about an hour 14, which just kind of goes to show the underestimation of how difficult the race was going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, my goal was an hour too, like sub like I could do, like if I were to just do like a 10K race, I could probably do it sub 50. No problem.
That's so impressive.
Honestly, like I just underestimated that bike, and then just once the quad started to tighten, it was just more of like you just gotta like go as slow as you can, like in a run, and just try to like. Just keep making, like, I probably spent like a good 2 minutes at each aid station. So that probably added like 10 minutes to the run in general. So I would say, like, honestly, like the running was like about an hour, but in terms of like just being able to do it, like I had to take like considerable breaks. So
you guys had a bit of a different strategy than I did for the aid station. Like, I did not spend very much time at each aid station. Like, I would grab, like, one electrolyte and one water. I downed it, and then I took off. Like, I had a few seconds to, like, catch my breath, and on the very last, waited about a minute. The very last aid station, I hung out for a second. Because I think for me, like, I was – my stomach really started to hurt at around mile like 3. I don't know from the gels or the, I had like little like stinger, like gummies that were just substitutes for gels. I don't know if that was messing with my stomach, but I honestly didn't feel like I could take very much water, and feel comfortable. So like that kind of helps me like not hang out at the aid station, which I think saved me a little bit of time, but hindsight, it probably wasn't the best idea, but I just wasn't feeling good. I almost threw up at about mile 4. So,
ooh,
yeah, no, I think for me, I don't know about you, Sam, but it was like necessary. Like if I were to like have passed the aid station or have like grabbed something and like tried to like continue running, I think I would have probably had to like had someone stretch me out. Like, it just, my quads were both like, dude, you need to like just take in as many electrolytes as you can, and until they loosen up, like you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, no, it's like I had full blown conversations with the people every single time I went by.
I know, I told them thank you so many times. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh, those ladies at mile, I guess it would be three and
yeah.
Two and three?
No. Yeah. I don't know. I know which one you're talking about, though. Yeah. They had the dogs.
The last one. Yeah. The ones with the two dogs. Talked to them for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it was just me at the aid station, again, putting, like, four or five. Jason, I think I had a different – like, I couldn't get enough in.
Yeah.
I guess kind of opposite to yours. Like, you can get anything in. But, like, I couldn't get enough – electrolytes and water and just sucked down the gels pretty quickly, but it was like I was looking for every little bit. If I could use like an analogy, it'd be like if I'm in my car and my light's on for gas and I pass a gas station, there's no, like, my car is getting stranded. I can't pass that gas station,
right?
And that's what those aid stations felt like. It was like, if I pass it, I'm getting stuck in between aid stations.
Right. Yeah, no, that was definitely the opposite of what I was feeling. I needed like the bare minimum to feel okay and to like stave off the cramps, and then that was it. I don't know how you guys felt appetite-wise after the race, but like when I got back in, like there was a bunch of food and a bunch of drinks. Like I didn't really want to drink almost anything, like, or eat almost anything. Like, it took me a few minutes to like really feel okay enough to start drinking stuff. And I drank an orange juice, but like, I wanted no part of eating any food until we got to In-N-Out like 2 hours later or an hour and a half later. Like, I just wasn't hungry. I don't know about you guys, but the last thing I wanted was food when I finished the race.
Yeah, I felt bad for Bree.
Yeah, I know.
Your fiance, because she made cookies, and it was like, that honestly sounds like the last thing I want right now.
Yeah.
Needed something like soft, and I mean, gosh, the chocolate milk that she gave me at the end, that was huge.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly, couldn't look at food, but I think I drank an entire cooler. Like Gatorade cooler of electrolytes. I like parked myself there, and I just was like cup after cup, just chugging.
So what was your guys' feeling when you eventually crossed the finish line? I for me personally, it was one of those things where like I actually got it, like, again, and I actually got a little bit emotional when I crossed the finish line, because one, it was so hard, the race was so hard, but two, like I said, like for me, like the idea of doing an Ironman is just something that I just have not been able to get out of my head for years. And you guys got to do stuff that I didn't get to do. Like, Sam, you got to play for Oregon's travel college volleyball team. Ben, you were a collegiate golfer up at Lewis and Clark. I didn't get to do any of that stuff. And I love not having, that in my life for so long and building this race up, and knowing that this was kind of a first step, for me personally, heading towards, you know, my eventual goal. I got a little bit emotional when I crossed the finish line, just because I was just happy to have this back in my life. And for throughout the entire week, and I talked to Bree about this because she didn't play sports. So it was when I was trying to explain to her how I was feeling about this race. Like, you guys know, like, before a sporting event, you get this like certain level of like nerve or anticipation that you can't like replicate. And like, it's not a first date nerve. It's not like a big test. I'm nervous for that, or a job interview. It's very distinct and it's very different. And I had that the entire week, and it was making me so happy throughout the week. And I had it right before we jumped in the water. So crossing the finish line for me, I know the race, it meant a lot to me to finish it. So crossing it was a feeling that I don't know if I'll be able to replicate again until I eventually do the Ironman, because this was obviously the first one. So it was a really euphoric feeling, at least for me.
Sam, go ahead.
Okay. I didn't have that strong of a feeling, I feel like, to it. It was a lot of relief that this thing that was torturing and tormenting the 4 hours of my life was finally over. It was awesome that you guys were all, which I kind of got the best end of it, right? Because I got, not only my family was there, Jason's family was there, Ben's family was there, and it was like everyone, I don't know if you guys are just really excited because you guys could leave, but everyone was super excited that I was finishing. And once I crossed, it was just like, again, it was some of it is like, I can talk to my girlfriend again. I can talk to my mom. Like, I can speak to people, which I haven't been able to do for hours.
Or seen many people.
But honestly, like, I don't know if you guys caught it, but I moved on pretty quick from it. It was like, okay, like that was that. We're good there. And next thing, right? Next thing in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had a wedding to go to, so
Dude, that day flew by. But it was like awesome to get that picture. Two of like, I guess, pretty profound athletic moments for me are ending with Ben in my face yelling at me in excitement with one being NorCal's, and now this, the first person I see is Ben, as I'm like just crouched over in pain because my legs could not straighten. He's there, and then we got that picture there, which I couldn't stand straight for. Yeah. So
yeah. No, I think, like, to piggyback on both of what you guys were saying, like, I think honestly for me, like, I was in so much pain getting to the finish line, and then, like, as you were saying, Sam, like, seeing everyone there, like, all of our families and friends, like, towards the finish line, like, screaming for us as we finished was, like, it didn't really, because, again, like, I, like, crossed the finish line. There's a video of me, like, crossing the finish line, like, literally, like, my face, I was truly, like, I don't know, like, what just happened to my, like, body. But then, like, I was, like, afterwards, like, seeing how excited everyone was for, like, all of us, it was kind of like this is, like, really awesome. Like, everyone came out and they saw us do something that took us 4 hours, but, like, they only could see, like, 15 seconds of it, like, truly, of us doing it. And everyone was just, like, so happy for us. So, like, for me, it was, like, I got to do it with, like, two of my best friends, which was awesome. And then to have all the support of our families and friends at the same time was kind of like this is like not just like any other race or like any other like accomplishment. Like, this is like something that like as you said, Jason, the night before, like, we've put time into and like had to like sacrifice like other things to like just make sure that, you know, our bodies could handle what we were about to put them through. So it was just kind of like a sense of like, you know, pride too, of like, oh, this is pretty damn cool. Like, not many people can say they, you know, did a triathlon, and they did a triathlon with two of their best friends, and they did it in front of their families. So
yeah,
kind of a middle unique, of cool, yeah, very unique, cool, like, feeling, you know, once I got off, you know, once all my pain had subsided.
in like a Sacramento summer too. Like, that was the hottest day we've had.
It was the hottest day of the year. Yeah.
Yes.
BS.
Yeah, so far. And Sam, I was waiting for Ben, and I wasn't waiting very long. I think you were only like 5 or 6 yeah. minutes. So it wasn't that long.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
You're great.
No, dude, and we said it to you the day of. Like, the fact that you finished where you did, having dealt with the flat tire, was a miracle. which yeah. You haven't told the story about what Jenna had said to you before the race.
I was going to save her the trouble.
Okay. So I'm sitting and I'm collecting myself. I'm waiting for Ben. I'm just kind of like coming back down. And then Ben crosses. I go over. We take a picture. He comes over. He sits down in the chair next to me. And I'm sitting down next to him. And we're not talking because both of us are just kind of like still kind of like come. He definitely is coming back down because he just finished. I'm in the process of coming back down. And he taps me on the shoulder. And he was like, dude, look at my leg.
It was cramping. You could literally see my muscle. Like,
they were both shaking so hard. He looked like he was shivering. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. So I turned to Brian, like, please go get him an electrolyte drink.
Dude, it was like two little like fists coming out of my quads. Like, it was awful. It was like, I've never like you get like a calf cramp in the middle of the night. And I was like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm like actually watching like, you know, my quads like just give up on me. Like, this is unbelievable.
I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah. It was like little aliens were like trying to come out of my legs. It was awful. Dude,
it was, I mean, that, like I said, the best way I could describe it was he just looked like he was shivering. Like, his legs were just spazzing out.
And I think I was smiling like a psychopath. Like, dude, look at this. Look at what you had me do, Jason.
I know. I know.
Well, I...
And, like, you know, like... I so appreciate, and I can't thank you guys enough for actually like doing it with me, because like, I would have obviously gone through it if it was just myself, but I had this idea in my head like a week after of doing the signing up that like I just couldn't think of anything cooler than the three of us doing this at least one time together, and for it to all be our like first one. It was really, really a fun experience. And like I had said to you guys, I didn't ask anybody else because I didn't want to do it with anybody else. And so like genuinely, like I really, like from the bottom of my heart, I really like can't thank you guys enough for like actually agreeing to do it with me, because it did make the day just, it made it feel more like a special event as opposed to just like something that like I just did. Obviously, like, I'll probably be doing the Ironman race by myself, so that's going to be like an isolated.
But, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Ed. Yeah.
No, it's okay. but this like this not only like for me like confirmed that it's something that I want to go after. It the day was just made so much better by you guys having been there and having done it with me. So like again, like truly like. Just thank you both for agreeing to do it in the first place. Because if you guys would have said no, then I wouldn't have had anybody else to do it with.
No, it was it definitely, as you said, like it made it a lot more like if fun is a word, like that's the best word that comes to my head. Like it truly was like, okay, you know, I've got, like I said, like two of my best friends out here feeling the same thing as me. So it was definitely, and like again, like being able to finish and celebrate with everyone was quite an awesome feeling. So yeah.
Was it worth it?
Are you asking me or are you asking Jason?
I just put it into the ether. Someone can answer.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it was, I like honestly, like I said, like I did one, you know, like I don't know many other people that can say they've done a triathlon.
Yeah,
I think it's just you two, like truly.
What's what's harder? Is a marathon or a triathlon harder?
I think the triathlon that we did was harder than probably Ooh. Like a flat marathon.
What if we had to, because technically we could run the bike path that we did.
Oh,
because that was 24.
Well, so I mean, like, honestly, though, like, I was thinking about this yesterday, and, like, the this is totally off topic, kind of, but, like, the California Marathon here in Sacramento, it starts in Folsom, and it's on roads, and it's all downhill, and it ends up here at the state capitol.
Jeez.
Really?
And part of me is, like, that yeah. seems easier than the triathlon in terms of it's a paved surface, it's downhill the entire way. Like, I think that's something that would not be as difficult as what we did for the triathlon, just based off the course.
Well, I'm so glad you guys have brought this up, because I didn't know if I was going to, but since we made it here, I don't know how many events you guys are going to want to do going forward. If there's any you have on a bucket list you want to attempt or anything like that. I have a little spreadsheet of exactly what I would like to do to build up to eventually doing the Ironman race. And I have three things listed here. And you guys just tell me what the likelihood of you even considering doing this at all.
Just yes or no? Just yes or no, Sam?
Yes or no.
Okay.
So, okay.
On October 5th, 2024, there is a half marathon up in Auburn, which I actually think I'm going to I've been able to convince Bree to do with me, because there's actually a hiking group. So you can elect to run the trail or you can hike it. So I think Bree's going to do it with me. But on October 5th of this year, there is a half marathon up in Auburn.
It's a trail?
I believe it is a trail run, yes.
What's the course description here? It's trail, and it goes an elevation of...
we'll see. I don't have the details in front of me.
Come on, man.
Give me like 2 seconds. Okay, let me pull this.
Right now, I think I know which way I'm leaning.
let's see. It is... Dun-dun-dun-dun. From all the pictures that I'm looking at the moment, it looks like it is trail and maybe a little bit of road.
Oh, Auburn.
Maybe some fire roads a little bit. All the pictures that I have in front of me are all... Oh, here's the course right here. Beautiful. Beautiful. Course information. All right. This half marathon will start at Overlook Park. Head over Road Point down to and across No Man's Bridge. Yeah, I don't know. So if it's saying that it's on a bridge, I have the trail right here in front of me. It looks like it's road, trail, not the road. It looks like we do gain quite a bit of elevation, but we also lose a bit of elevation as well. So what are you guys thinking?
I don't know if I could commit to something that this year, honestly. If you were to tell a half marathon in itself doesn't honestly seem that bad.
Right.
We actually had this conversation, Jason.
Yeah.
And Ben, you could probably go farther than we, but we were like, if you were in, say tomorrow, you're 100% healthy, like you're actually pre-triathlon. Say this is the Friday before the triathlon, you're in that shape. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, go run as far as you can. How far is that?
Far as I can.
Like, probably. You're like, you could bet you're getting this.
Oh, I bet I'm getting it. Like 15 miles.
Well, then there you go.
You don't put time on it. I would say 15 miles.
There you go. So half marathon's nothing for you.
No, but I'm looking at, it's the Auburn Half Marathon. It's on 10/5 or whatever the date is.
October 5th, 2024, yes.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the half marathon course right now, and it says the descent and ascent is 2,400 feet. So yeah. You go up a long ways. You do have to come back down, but...
Yes.
That hurts.
That's double what we did for the triathlon. So I think I'm gonna say pass. that seems like more of a hike than a run.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, there is an option to hike if you are a Kaiser.
Sounds like a really long hike.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah, like I said, I don't foresee myself committing to something this year. And yeah, Ben kind of sealed it for me there. That is, to me, it's like we're running a half marathon up Half Dome.
Right.
Really. Yeah.
So then here's the next one. So April 5th, 2025, that's the Napa Valley. That's the half Ironman.
No. I'll go drink wine and then I'll find you.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Sam, you want to do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Here's one that I genuinely think we all could do. It's November 3rd, 2025. It's the Two Cities Marathon in Fresno. I read a little about the course. It's all flat the entire time. The very beginner marathon run. So that is November 3rd, 2025. So obviously it's a ways away. I don't want to be like just doing a shit ton of events and run myself into the ground. So I'm trying to spread these out. Marathon next November in Fresno. Very flat, friendly course. What do you think?
I'm going to send you the Sacramento Marathon.
Because if I'm going to run a marathon, I'm not going to Fresno.
When's the Sac Marathon?
December.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to send it. We can take this offline. This doesn't have to be a pod conversation. But...
And then that would leave 2020. They are. I'll leave that. But,
is that a natural progression?
I think so. At least from the standpoint of like half marathon will sort of build up to the marathon. Half Ironman will obviously be, well, half of an Ironman. And then I think that it's probably better that I don't find out what a marathon feels like while I'm on an Ironman course.
I don't know. I think you got to figure out what a marathon actually feels like when you haven't done a 100-mile bike ride.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Maybe it's not a great progression to me, like, first math out. But maybe it's not the best idea. It's just kind of the way that I don't know, just the dates and times of the events, because obviously it's kind of location dependent. So, so that'll kind of be any of those you guys want to jump on with me. I
honestly like would love to do a marathon. So keep me tapped in with that. But
anything else, I'll go support you for those. That half marathon in Auburn, if you do it, good for you.
Fair enough. Okay, I'll keep the marathon thing on the radar. My dad actually said that he might train for that. Yeah, I had talked to him about it, and we were talking about the Ironman stuff, and he was like, yeah, like I can't even like train for that. But he was like, a marathon, he's like, that's easier for me to wrap my head around. And I was like, well, if you want to do one with me, there's this one. And he was like, I might. So he might actually do it.
Nice. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm not swimming in open water again. I'm done with that.
That's fair.
And 100 miles on the bike just sounds awful.
Yeah. Once you do 100, you still have 12.
Oh, is it 112?
112. So to sort of wrap up, give me what the past 48 hours have felt like for you guys. Ben, you can go first on this one. Just between, I think both. I'm assuming both of you went to work today. So like, how was day after the race, and how was first day of work after the race?
I would just say, if I were to just sum it up in one word, it was just like foggy.
Agreed.
Yeah, like just kind of like my mental capacity wasn't quite there. My physical capacity obviously wasn't there. Just kind of felt like I was like a little bit, you know, worse for the wear. So just felt a little like foggy with everything. But that's, you know, okay. We're feeling better.
Good. Sam?
Yeah, I haven't been able to walk. I mean, I talked about it at the beginning of this podcast before you got on, Ben. But we obviously had Mother's Day the day after, so went to breakfast with my mom, and then she had the crazy idea of making my brother and I grab firewood that's down a hill and bring it up to the house.
Of course.
Which, I mean, it just what was the thing? The website that you looked at, Jason, was like you should probably not do physical activity for the next week.
Yeah, I saw a couple different places. Some said like 72 hours, some said 96. The one that I went to and kind of like liked the most, they said anywhere from like give yourself a week to like 2 weeks to just kind of
Which I guess the day after probably wouldn't be the best idea to start lifting firewood and bring it up. But I just haven't been able to walk normal. But big thing, appetite is completely different. It feels like I can eat stuff, like just throw things down my gullet and I'm still hungry.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. When did you guys finally feel rehydrated? Because for me, it wasn't until about noon today.
Oh, same. I was literally going to say the exact same thing. That's okay. Fine. Yeah, I felt like I did not feel good this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I felt more sore this morning than I did yesterday.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. See, I did.
Yeah. For some reason, my shoulder, like my left shoulder, was really sore when I woke up.
Huh. Yeah, yesterday was. I had to go to work 8 a.m. the next day immediately, and that was terrible. Anybody who I spoke to that day, I was like, just please, just I'm sorry if I'm a little bit behind today. But yeah, because when you're hydrated, I mean, I feel like you go to the bathroom regularly because you have to like get rid of just urine. And I didn't feel the need at all over the past few days. Like, and I couldn't quench my thirst, like, at all. Like, no matter how much water I drank, I didn't feel hydrated. Then just today, sort of in between clients today, I was like, okay, I feel okay. Like, my headache just kind of, like went away. Like, I had, a headache the entire time. And it just kind of suddenly just went away when I was at work today. And yeah, that was the first time that I felt rehydrated.
Yeah.
Dang.
So all in all, for anybody listening, takeaway from this podcast is
try. Don't do it.
If you like, would you guys like, in a moment of seriousness, would you recommend it for somebody who like wants to give it a go?
I would. Name someone. Like, how about this? James comes up to us and is like, should I do it?
I like, in all seriousness, I wouldn't tell anyone yes or no. I would just lay out the facts for my race. I would say it was hard as hell. It depends on what course you're doing and how much you can, like, honestly afford with your equipment. Like, aka the bike. Like,
you better be hydrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say I would tell people, like, try it if you like honestly think you can do it and or like have the motivation to do it. But I would caution people as to like make sure you're aware of what course you pick and just what you're doing, you know, like what does your equipment look like, you know. Like, I think we're all at the age where we could kind of get away with, you know, not having the best stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, if I were to do this in like 5 years, I'd be like, dude, I need to like actually have legit bike.
Yeah. So. Or like a wetsuit that is meant for races.
Exactly. Yeah.
What? Our cheap Amazon wetsuit wasn't made for races?
Dude, I was flying. I don't know about you guys.
I was saying, yeah, I felt great.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. The swim cap was money too.
That was sweet.
I know, hilariously, mine was the one with a hole in it.
Yeah, it's funny.
I will say that my favorite moment of the entire race, as we wrap this up, was when we were standing in the water, just kind of getting ready. We were all kind of just warming. Well, I don't want to say warming up in the water, but we were standing in the water. And I don't know. I don't know who started the conversation, but the idea of a relay team had come up. And Sam turns to us and he's like, but why didn't we just do a relay? And then without hesitation, like immediately, Ben's head whips around and he goes, do you think he would have agreed to that? and then Sam just kind of pauses and it's just like, no. And I just laughed. I was like, okay, yeah, these are my friends.
But Ben, we could have done the relay. Exactly. Like, you could have swam, I could have biked, and you could have ran, and we would have been fine.
Right. I was going to say, had we had done a relay, what would everybody's events would have, like, what would have made the most sense?
Shoot. I think
Ben swimming, probably.
Well, I mean, would it be me? I would either do swim or run.
If you could legitimately break 50 minutes on the run, then you got to do the run. That is like 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think, like, honestly, like, if I were fresh, like, hadn't done a thing before, I could have probably been close to 50. Like, I definitely could break 50, like, on a flat course.
Right. And so I was thinking that same, because I was running through this today, because I knew I was going to ask you guys this question. And I think that means, like, the bike was my strongest event, but I honestly think I probably would have had to swim then, which, Sam, that would have meant you would have had to bike.
Yeah, and I would have got the flat. It would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Ben would be sitting there. I really Ben would be sitting there. He wasn't, man, this guy's getting passed so much. What's going on?
So would you guys ever run a triathlon back if we did a relay?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, perfect. All right, then. All right, we'll just make
it. Again, I'm not out on doing a triathlon again. I'm just going to, like, pay a lot more attention to the course whenever you suggest it. I'm going to be like, okay, he's suggesting a half marathon in Auburn. I'm going to go take a look at the specs as to, like, how much uphill.
All right, well, then we'll just make the Folsom triathlon a yearly thing, and we'll just do it real.
I didn't say that.
I'm just kidding. All right. Well, you guys got anything else to add to the tri show?
Nope. It was a pleasure, boys. So fun.
Well, as always, for the audience, thank you all so much for listening. Hopefully this was entertaining. Obviously it wasn't about sports. We'll get back to that later. But have a wonderful week. Happy Mother's Day to any mothers who are listening to the show. We will see you all very soon.
I know mine isn't.